This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. This week, Detroit artist Sidney James will show us a new public artwork that considers one Detroit man and the community of Black Americans whose lives ended violently at the hands of police. Friday, she plans to formally unveil Way Too Many, a memorial mural featuring the face of Malice Green and the names of many others. We should note that Friday also marks our observance of Juneteenth, when we remember how Black people in the West learned of their emancipation. Sidney James, welcome back to Stateside.
Hi.
Do you mind thinking back for us and telling what was going on with you in your life, I guess then your young life, when you heard about what had happened to Malice Green?
I was 13 when Malice Green got murdered. I remember the murder. I remember it happened after the LA riots. I remember it being all over, plastered all over media back then, which was newspapers and news, you know, on television. But we were bombarded with it. And I remember the original mural that Benny White Jr. had painted, like really at the site where Malice was murdered and he was beat to death. I remember the media painting a picture of him like he was a crackhead and villainizing him. So that was what I was doing. I was just a child, but I remember how horrible it was. I knew back then that it was like it was going to be a challenge to be Black in America. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I can imagine that that was not the first time you had heard of such a thing happening. Did the incident?
Oh, no. Definitely not the first.
Did that one stand out for you in any way at the time?
It stood out because he actually died. It's like we always knew. But of course, if you have older Black parents, they're going to tell you what was going on. So I've always known like the struggles of Black people and the journey that we had been on. So really, I think for the world or my generation, the introduction to police brutality was definitely Rodney King. But the difference was, you know, Rodney King wasn't, he didn't get killed.
The work that you've been working on is the second mural dedicated to Malice Green that was painted in Detroit. You mentioned that Benny White Jr. did the original.
Actually, it's not.
Oh,
so
I'm sorry.
I believe, I know there are several others around the city. But for me, the original work, what Benny did was the work that stuck with me. Because how he painted him. Like he painted Malice almost like a Black Jesus, if you will, with these Black tears streaming down his face. Because Malice Green was a handsome man. And if you made the picture, like the photo of him Black and white, he does kind of resemble what you would think a Black Jesus would look like. But it was like really the Black tears, because they were all of our tears. That was the one that I just thought would be there forever.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only one I think of when I think of Malice Green murals. I only think of that one.
Can you explain what happened to Benny White's mural?
So what I read in the article, and it was the day after George Floyd got murdered. It was an article that was about the Malice Green case. It mentioned the Malice Green case because, of course, Kim Worthy actually got convictions, not the convictions that they deserved, but they got convicted.
Kim Worthy, the Wayne County prosecutor.
Yes, yes. She worked very hard to get justice for Malice Green. So that original mural was a symbol of that justice for many. I know it was for me. So when I was reading this article and it was highlighting facts about the case and other things that had happened, at the end of the article, they mentioned Benny White Jr. And they talked about how the community, like even though it had gotten vandalized multiple times, Benny always went to go fix it, and the community really wanted it to stay. They wanted the mural preserved, but instead, the building got demolished. And when I read that, it stuck with me. It pissed me off. I was angry.
Mm-hmm.
Because if nothing else, it should exist, just because it's like another piece of us being erased. Because just like him dying was a historical moment, him being resurrected in a painting was also a historical moment. Because it showed media, it showed police, it showed the world that we remember. Like, we're not just going to let this go. We're not going to forget. This was a man. Like, all the other ones are men, women, children. And there are thousands. Like, even on the painting that I painted, because I painted Malice, but I didn't paint Malice Green as a man. I painted him as a monument.
So how did discussions start about you painting something from Alice Green on the wall of the Hamilton Tucker Art Gallery?
Well, when I read that the original was destroyed, I made the decision that I was going to paint a Malice Green mural. But it's painted on that wall because I'm part owner of that building. And I did it deliberately because I get to determine. I'm a piece of the decision of how it's preserved and how long it's preserved. Like, it's up to me, nobody else, not the city.
Yeah.
And I think that's important because a lot of the issues with erasure, appropriation, gentrification, all of these things is, the main issue is we're not owners. Many times we don't own the property. So if you don't own, you really don't have a real say.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, you decided to portray Malice as a monument, as a statue. Could you talk about how you sort of the conception of the work and what you had in mind?
So what I had in mind was I definitely want to honor Malice Green. But I didn't want to mimic what Benny had done, or Mr. White, I should say that, because he is definitely an elder. I did give him a nod in my design, though, because right now, 28 years later, Malice is still an important part of the conversation. I had to make him a monument because he's a symbol. He's a symbol of what should have stopped then, what should not have been then. And now we have these thousands and thousands of names that have followed Malice's, you know, his fate, thousands. And so I didn't want to just paint Malice because it's not about Malice. It's about the malice that has been done to our people even since then and since 1619. So my initial plan was to paint Malice Green as a statue, and he's holding a scroll. And the scroll contains the names of all of the people who have been killed and murdered at the hands of police brutality and injustice, right? My initial plan was to do it, to list all the names from 1979, the year I was born, up until now, right? That sounds like something that should be reasonable. But I was naive because I didn't know. Because everybody murdered at the hands of police are not documented. They're not headlines. Most have not been investigated. Just 2014, 2015 was well over 1,000 names.
If you're just joining us, we're talking today with Detroit artist Sydney James. Her latest mural is called Way Too Many, and it features the face of Malice Green, a Detroit man killed by police in 1992. So in the treatment that you settled on, you ended up with this scroll. It feels kind of significant that there are names that we can see, and yet also the suggestion that there are many more names that we cannot see.
No, you can see them. You have to go to the wall, though.
Oh.
Like, you can't see them in a photograph. They're there. It's well over 1,000 names on that scroll.
Oh, Sydney.
Oh, they're there. That scroll is full. It's just different. It's different because it's different handwriting. It's different intents. That's why I designed it that way. And I didn't design it that way initially. It was all like, it was an ever-growing thing in my brain. Like, I sketched it out. That's when I posted it online. Then I sketched out a cleaner one when I posted online for the GoFundMe. After it was funded, I was still thinking, like, how can I really make this message real or more real to viewers? And I was thinking, like, oh, it wouldn't just be one scroll, because nobody's intention is ever to just create a ledger, a scroll ledger of just murders, right? It would have to be kind of a scrapbook or like a manic type of creation. So that's why you have paper taped onto it. You have line paper. We have headlines taped. And then we just have different handwritings because it wouldn't be something that would be orderly. And it's kind of reflective of even trying to find the database with all of the names. It's not in one place. You can't Google like black murders at the hand of police and get a real answer or a real database.
Right.
We had to pull from at least 20.
What was it like to be in communion with all those names as you painted them on the wall?
It was very, it was painful. So my assistants, who are my mentees, Backpack Durden, Ajayna Cortez, and Syra Dardis, they even when they agreed to work on this with me, they did it with the thought of she shouldn't hold all that burden to herself. Like, she shouldn't be responsible for that burden, because it is a burden. Like, I only ended up having to write a couple names because Sabrina Nelson donated her time to write names, because she's a hell of a calligraphist too. Halima Cassells, Ibrahima, like, these are people that I wasn't even anticipating being there, but they, it's like they hit me up like, hey, I want to participate. What do you need me to do? I'm happy to write names. Because they knew. But it was really hell. Like, the first time, the first day that they started the names, Syra and Backpack were up on a boom lift at like the highest point, starting the, like, with the headliners, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, I think his name is Tony McDade. Yeah. And of course, that one, I don't think they're even investigating. But they started writing a lot of the names. And I looked up, because I was, you know, toward the bottom working on my area. And I looked up and it just felt wrong. And I said, are you guys okay up there? They were like, no. And then when they looked down at me, both of them were in tears. Mm. So I pulled them down. We called it a night for the work. And we sat there on, you know, on this field, because it's a large piece of land next to the, connected to the building. And we sat there and we cried and we talked about it. Most of the names that they had started with were people under the age of 18.
Yeah.
Like, one of the real kids.
Well, we should say one of the names that's featured most prominently in the mural is that of Ayanna Jones. She was 7 years old when police entered one of her family members' homes, her grandma's, and they were looking for a suspect. Now, that story of Ayanna Jones has been told and retold, but the outcome was that the officers fired and killed her. And it's a story that stands out even among the multitudes of other Detroiters that we can name. Why did you choose to center her in that way?
Because nothing was planned as far as the names. I really only planned the look of it. The names kind of happened more organically. And once we started running out of space with just really 2 years worth of names, I just decided, okay, Malice, I knew Malice Green would be the head, the first one on the scroll. But I feel like the last 2 days I decided that the names on the scroll had to be the Detroit residents. One is, of course, Ayanna Jones, who happened to be, I didn't know this at the time, but Ajayna revealed to me while we were painting that that was her little cousin. It was like a third cousin, but that was her family. Mm. Like, these are real people connected to real people, connected to more real people. Like, we are people. It was another man, and he actually was murdered by stress years prior to my birth, but still the 70s. But this woman had contacted me on Facebook that I'm friends with. And she asked me to add her name, his name, her uncle's name, because he had been murdered in, I believe, 1971 by stress. One of those stress units that used to go around harassing Black people in the 70s around the city of Detroit.
Yeah.
So it's Clarence, I think his name was Clarence Manning Jr. A woman named Jessica just hit me up, and I had to add his name because, of course, what do I look like? I'm going to deny you?
Some people may stop and look at the work and just ponder it. And as is always the case with murals, others may just pass by. And in that sense, the mural has to function on an ambient level. Did you do any thinking about what you wanted it to communicate in that way?
Nope. I just, because it's not for real. It was for me and it was for Black people. It really wasn't for anybody else. I mean, I want people, it's for everybody else to see, but really to read the names. Like, and I made it aesthetically pleasing because it's such a terrible piece. Like, you gotta draw them in with something pretty, but once you draw them in with whatever this is, then they actually get to experience it. So I don't want people's experience at the wall to be like, oh, I don't want it to be like the engagement photo backdrop. You know what I mean? It's really a memorial.
Yeah. The unveiling is set for this Friday, Juneteenth, and that's a day when we think about freedom and also about freedom delayed. Was it important to you to show people this work on that particular day?
Definitely, because I've been done with the work a week tomorrow. So people can really go by and see it whenever. But tomorrow is Juneteenth, and it is a day of celebration, but it's also a day of observance. And since it's a day of observance, I want people to come. It's not an event. It's not going to be a party. It's really just to honor the dead. Like, bring flowers if you want. Lay them at the wall if you choose. And really acknowledge the names, the souls that are presented on the wall. And then the souls that we couldn't list, the so many unnamed. I want people to feel this wall, because it's painful to look at.
Yes. This is a time when Americans are in the streets. Sometimes those streets are painted with bright yellow letters that spell out Black Lives Matter. And this is also a time when we're seeing some older statues and monuments getting a public, I want to say a correction. You know, where people right. are, there's either information getting posted about, say, Confederate monuments, or they're simply being taken down, or sometimes given a public defacing as a way of correcting the record. In that kind of environment, have you thought at all about if there are new functions that murals are playing?
I think murals always play the same function, whether it's for the opposing team or the team that you play for. Public art, period, is really to expose, enlighten, brighten, depending on what the piece is. You know, the functions are different. But the main function is you give whatever it is to the people. You give the people a say. Because, you know, it could be propaganda. It could be facts. It could be a history lesson. Public art plays so many roles. But it takes it out of the hands of the elite who control all of the other messages that we receive. So it really puts it in a place, the hands of the artist, to tell the truths of the time.
Sidney James's mural, Way Too Many, will be formally unveiled this Friday, Juneteenth, 2020, on the outside wall of the Hamilton Tucker Art Gallery on Hamilton Avenue. Sidney, thank you so much. It's so good to hear your voice.
You too. Have a great day.